So, welcome to another edition of Totally That's Stupid,
the podcast.
Some trademarky thing. I don't know. The trademarky thing is kind of played out. Strike the trademarky thing.
Okay, well, then just imagine it with big flashy lights and things. Totally That's Stupid, the podcast. And now I'm going to take a sip from Totally That Stupid, the cup.
Right. I'm sipping Totally That Stupid, the lukewarm this morning's coffee.
Ah, but looking forward to Totally That Stupid, the scotch or beer this evening. I haven't decided which yet.
Oh. For all you out there in radio land, what? It's Ooh. Totally That Stupid, the flask.
Look who's starting early.
Put that over there.
And just for the record, my name is Reed Hitchcock.
And I am Jonathan Bush.
And we are Totally That Stupid.
Forever and always. I'd like to actually start with I don't want to say a warning, maybe a disclaimer.
This is gonna go well.
Oh yeah, as it usually does. I'd like to just say you may hear some language in this podcast that you may find objectionable.
Does that have to do with the flask?
No, there just might be some dirty words that slip out occasionally. So I'm not saying don't listen. I'm probably saying don't be surprised.
Have you been talking to the lawyers?
No, I was actually watching this this Zoom meeting with David Chang and what the heck's her name? She's a food writer. But it started off really like pretty PG. And then it got into PG-13. And then as the conversation went on, it was probably borderline R for language and nothing offensive and nothing out of context. But, you know, the seven dirty words might have been used. Well, not all seven, but a couple of them. So just, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
FYI, you know.
It does happen from time to time.
Right. And despite evidence to the contrary, Reed and I are okay at editing ourselves. But not always.
Okay is probably the right way to go.
Right.
Although usually it's like an off-color joke that ends up on the cutting room floor, but that's okay.
Right.
So let's talk stupid.
Let's talk stupid. How stupid are you this week? Because I'm pretty stupid, I think.
Well, all right. Well, you start.
I don't have anything in particular, except I've been kind of on this Jag S-type. I was going to say Jag S-type Jag, but S-type kick.
Okay. Is that the round headlight one or is it the other one?
That's the round headlight one.
Okay.
The X-type is the front drive Mondeo-based one. The S-type is the S-type, the Thunderbird, the Lincoln LS.
The S-type is the Mark II wannabe.
Yeah, the retro Mark II wannabe one.
Right. So funny story on that. And this is not going to be colorful, but it's going to be a little embarrassing. My wife and teenage daughter have decided to rewatch the entire series of, wait for it, the Gilmore Girls. And they do this while I'm present. Last night's episode, the old woman who's married to Ed Herman.
Emily Gilmore. Oh, dude, it's rampant in my house.
Oh, my God. Okay. Anyway, yes, Emily Gilmore is pulled over for talking on her cell phone, actually. But she's in a Jag S-Type.
Yeah, I think she had other Jags also. So we watched it when it first came out, when it was on whatever station it was on. And
wait, can I just stop for a second? Welcome to Totally That Stupid, where we talk about the Gilmore
Girls. Yeah. Okay. That's going to be short-lived, but I promise it'll be relevant. We did watch it. I think they had an XJ8 at some point also. I like Luke's truck, if you've seen that. Nice old Chevy, 68 or 70. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's kind of all I have to say. But I think there were some good Hondas in the background of Stars Hollow, the little town. There were some, like, you know, bubble era Hondas and Acuras. Mm-hmm. And actually I should look it up real quick before I say it, but I think that's actually the same square they used for the Dukes of Hazzard.
It could be. It seems like the green's a little smaller, but that could just be like poor memory.
Yeah, let me.
I mean, I can just enjoy it because I kind of like Rory.
Yeah, yeah. I now I get it. Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard, Walton's. Yeah, apparently they use that for all sorts of stuff.
Well, and you can tell that the various side streets, now that you say it, are some of the same ones because of just it's that layout. I mean, they even used that for, I think, Friends or something. I mean, you know, just
the Waltons. I mean, they used all sorts of stuff. So just picture, you know, Lorelei driving her Jeep around there and then getting dusted by an orange Charger.
That probably no longer has a Confederate flag on top.
Very likely. Very likely. That's going to be a different podcast. Revisiting automotive icons of the past through today's lens. And there's definitely probably some opinions there about that.
Yeah, I actually, you know, on my list of things to write about, I was actually thinking about finding sort of everyday in quotes, but everyday examples of the cars that we loved as kids. So it's, you know, finding that 69 Charger, all those cars. I mean, you know, what, an 82 Firebird. I don't have a whole lot of interest in finding one of those. No. But all those cars and sort of doing 5 or 10 of your favorite cars as a kid and what you can get with your own money kind of thing. But the problem is, I mean, you know, some of the crap I watched on TV when I was a kid, I mean, you know, I could go find a smoked silver 560 SEL because I like J.R. Ewing. Some of them were more mundane than others.
Well, and some of them are easier to locate and more attainable, right? Like you can buy a 560 SEL from, you know, $3,000 to $30,000. You know,
right.
But you're not going to touch a Bandit Trans Am or a generally Charger, a decent one for under $25,000. So, you know, what's your dollar allocation to fulfill your teenage dreams?
Well, I mean, yeah, well, and it comes down to what people have, right? I mean, you know, if you've got more money than brains or more money than me anyway, you know, maybe you want to spend, you know, somewhere between 50 and I don't know, 250 on a 69 Charger, depending on which motor and what color it is. But they, I mean, there are still some deals out there. You see them once in a while. I mean, you know, how many Chargers did they destroy filming?
Not as many as you think. I mean, it's not an insignificant number, but you know, it was like 400 cars, which is a lot of cars if you're just balling them up. But you know, it's,
well, in today's dollars for a Charger, that's, you know, that's a lot of money. I mean, so yeah, a 69 Charger with the 440 on Hemmings, 74.9, and
yeah,
while it's probably not a terrible deal for what it is. Oh, it's not even an original motor. It was originally a 383. So it's not a numbers matching car, but I mean, it's still a lot of money. For 75 grand, I can buy a lot of interesting cars.
Well, and that goes back to what we talk about a lot and we write about a lot, I think, is, you know, for some dollar amount, you can buy a lot of cars, right? I mean, a terrible rusty Charger that needs floors and frame rails and everything else is like a $15,000-$20,000 car.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a labor of love at that point.
Well, there's a $59,000 70. And of course, I prefer the 68, 69 front end. I really like the 69 front end, and it's probably because of the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, it is.
But I like the split grill without the chrome from 1970. But I guess that's all retrofittable if you're really into it.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's still enough of them out there that if you want a 68, 69, I think you can buy one, right? You know, you're going to have to allocate some number of dollars anyway, so you can find that. I'm good either way with 68, 69. 69 because it's iconic, but I like the 68, the 4-round taillights. Not any more or less than the 69 taillights, but...
But it's what you like.
But it's what you like. I like that car.
Yeah. But again, I mean, $50,000 is a lot of Miatas.
It is a lot.
what actually has grown on me while we're talking about Chargers mm-hmm. is I'm actually starting to sort of like the earlier generation Charger.
The first gens, yeah.
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 I didn't used to like those. I always thought that the side profile in particular, that back window was too big. Mm-hmm. But I was watching something and actually they're growing on me. Mm-hmm. I still prefer the General Lee Charger.
Yeah. No, the first gen Chargers are neat cars, and they're proper four place cars. The center console goes, you know, from the bottom of the dashboard all the way back. And there was that car was featured prominently in the movie Big Fish. A young Albert Finney played the older version of the character. Who's the young Obi-Wan, the guy in Trainspotting?
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. He played the younger version. And you know, he drove that model Charger, and it was like bright red. Neat cars.
I mean, and then you know, because it's not the iconic one, here's one. It's a 67 in really nice looking shape. It's probably not a factory color because it's sort of a bronzy metallic, but it may be a factory color. $32,000. And it's got the 383 in it, which, okay, I mean, it's, you know, it's 3-speed automatic, but it's still, you know, you can get some pep out of those motors.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's one, a 66. It's white on, looks like blue and black. It looks fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's got some nice, I think they're like Kelsey Hayes wheels. It's got a 440 in it. It's not original. $12,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And it's not rusty?
I don't think it is. Let's see if this
You just made my $32,000 car a ripoff.
yeah, it looks like that's expired. Yeah, 66, Colorado Springs, white. Frame and floors look clean. Rockers look clean. It's got a kind of a doofy looking hood scoop, but it's not irreversible. But it also has a whole bunch of engine under the hood.
Right.
It has all kinds of engine.
My problem is that I'm getting old and I live in the mid-Atlantic and it gets hotter than 10 hells here sometimes. Mm-hmm. And as I look at muscle cars, or frankly, you know, when I look at Mobile and I look at, you know, European market cars, I want AC. Mm-hmm. And for cars, particularly from the 60s, but even from the 70s, especially the European cars, good cars with functional AC are not easy to find.
And even if they have perfectly functioning AC, it's 60s Euro car AC. A good friend of ours, Michael Harper, went through a tremendous amount of effort retrofitting decent air conditioning into the stock enclosure in a 72 Bavaria. And it was a lot of work, and it was a tremendous amount of custom hand fitting and blah, blah, blah. And it was fine. By the time he was done, it was not awesome. It was fine. I think with American cars, because quite frankly, nobody does air conditioning of that time period like the Americans do, I think you could make air conditioning work in an American car of that time period.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, looking at how this 440 is crammed into the engine compartment of this 66 Charger, I'm not convinced you could do it to this car, but other cars you certainly could.
Yeah. And I mean, and there are cars where I think you just have to understand that you're going to get hot if it's a really hot day, or you take a different car that day. And that's sort of where I've been. The last Alpha I had, it technically had AC, but it just needed a charge.
As they do.
and of course, the mechanic told me that just a charge would probably cost about $1,400. Right. And so I opted not to charge it. You know, and yeah, on the hottest of days, I mean, geez, if I was already out and it got really hot, you throw the top up and just drive with the windows open, or you drive the other car. Right. And yeah, I mean, that's sort of a combination of old man and a person with too many cars, but yeah, it's also what it is.
Well, I don't disagree with that, though. I mean, we have fewer days that are genuinely hot up here in Minnesota. There's probably a sum total of 3 weeks out of the entire year where it's like, yeah, I'm taking the modern car with the modern air conditioning. And yeah, it's the height of summer, but a bunch of the rest of the time, it's fine. You know, we also have 6 months of winter, so.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I, having grown up driving convertibles in a cooler climate, I'm certainly more of the mindset of, you know, put your top down and put your scarf and your hat on and drive your convertible in the winter, as opposed to, I don't know, get naked and drive it in the summer. This assuming that there is no climate control device in the car. I'd rather, you know, bundle up and put the top down and enjoy that than fry my buns off midsummer.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Oh, I think one of the best feelings in the world is the windows up, the heater going, the top down, and that crisp air. And yeah, your ears might get cold. Mm-hmm. Wear gloves because your hands are going to get cold. But even, you know, when we had a Mercedes 124 convertible, the 300 CE, and I'd put all four windows up in that car, put the heater on, and it didn't have the wind blocker. So you'd still get some of that air coming back at you. But it also had seat heaters. Mm-hmm. Now, convertible, winter, heat on, bun warmers. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've said, you know, even living here, you know, we always talk about what's the next car. And I think the only thing that keeps me from driving a convertible year round, even where I live, is the fact I already have a convertible. And then when summer comes, would I ever drive the old convertible? So, you know, if you start looking at 996 convertibles as a year round driver, why wouldn't you drive that in the summer in addition to the winter? Mm-hmm. You know, one of those with seat heaters on Blizzax, I'd drive that year round.
Oh, hell.
Because especially where I live, you'll sometimes get two or three warm enough days in like January, February, or even February, March, when it is the deadest of dead of winter here. And you're like, yeah, sun's starting to warm up a little bit. It's not 10 degrees. It's like 40 degrees or 50 degrees, one or two days, and that's when you drop the top. And you don't care if the roads are still gross because it's your daily driver anyway.
Right. I love that. I love that crisp air feeling with the top down. And people look at you like you're a moron, but you know what?
I am.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'm totally that stupid.
I'm totally that moron. Wait, now that doesn't have the same ring to it. Well, I mean, yeah, we both had convertibles in high school, and I used to joke around that unless there was liquid water falling out of the sky, I'd have the top down. And yes, that includes snow. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can keep moving, you don't have to stop. Driving a convertible in the snow
It's awesome.
Fantastic.
Especially if you get rear wheel drive.
True.
That's even better. And none of this traction control and stuff. I mean, you know, I'm talking old school.
Right. Yeah. Nobody had snow tires back then.
Snow tires. What's that about? I always remember my dad was on a business trip one time. At the time, they had a Mercedes 126 300 SD. And so he's on this business trip and he ends up sitting next to some Mercedes engineer. And the guy's talking to him about the car. And my dad told him, he said, we love the car. It's a great car. Because my only problem is in the wintertime, it just gets no traction. And we even had studded snow tires on the thing.
Wow.
Studded, yes. You know, with the little...
Back when you could do that.
Yeah, before that was illegal. So the guy from Mercedes says, he goes, you know, it snows in Germany and it's a real easy problem to fix. And my father said, oh yeah? You know, Mr. PhD mechanical engineer who thought of everything by putting studded snow tires on the car, and that didn't work. And the guy said, yeah, 50 pounds of sand in the trunk, you know, 25 pounds on each side. There's those little wells on the side of the trunk. He goes, you'll never have another traction problem again. And damned if we didn't.
No, we run snow tires here because, you know, it can be cold enough that if we do get weather, like, it's not melting in the next few days, right? Like, it'll be here for a while. And I do find that the softer rubber compound does really help. Like, modern snow tires are an amazing thing.
Oh, I mean,
it's
there's a reason that they're able to sell them. It's not just all hype, I don't think.
No, I don't think it is. Especially like, you know, my 330 is rear wheel drive. I could buy an all wheel drive one, but I don't want an all wheel drive one. They're not as fun.
Right. Yeah. One of the things I like about having just gotten the W210 E55 is it's that rear wheel drive point and squirt. And you can turn off traction control to an extent on that car, which is nice. I like a rear wheel drive car. Mm-hmm. Before that, I had the Subaru WRX, which was great. And I like the all wheel drive traction. That's cool. But I am a fan of rear wheel drive point and squirt.
Mm-hmm. That's like going back to the 996. Like, I don't want a Carrera 4. I want a Carrera 2. You know, we have an all-wheel drive car. We've got the Outback. It is fantastic at what it does. It's safe. It's an assured drive. You know, even in the rain, like some cold, rainy days here, you can make time in that car in bad weather. But, you know, if it's just me, yeah, no, I want something a little more squirrely.
So, ever since somebody commented on one of the posts that I put up, just a photograph on, I think it was an Instagram thing that we tagged, of sort of 3/5 of our fleet, and they commented that the only thing missing was a convertible, I've had that on my brain again. I've been sort of, you know, and I always gravitate to the same cars. I mean, on my screen right now, before we started talking, that's still there, is an Alpha Spider search, because I do like me an Alpha Spider. But haven't seen anything really compelling.
I haven't seen anything that makes me want to get rid of my manual transmission 3 Series. Right, because the next car is going to be a daily, or as much as anything is a daily these days, what with working at home and limited travel. But, you know, I like having one manual transmission car around at all times. So, yeah, I like these Jag S types, and I like the idea of some of these wagons. But man, manuals are hard. Manuals are hard to find. And that's, I will defend that to my dying days, that I like me a manual.
I'm hit or miss on it. I like having a stick around, but I like right now there's not one in the active fleet, but I'll buy another one again. I go through my phases, although I'm pretty happy with the fleet right now. You know, our big thing right now is my daughter's in school in the Midwest, and they're sending her home for Thanksgiving through Christmas, if not sooner. And the big thing is, do we leave her Volvo 240 there? Does somebody go and drive back with her? Because yeah, you still don't want to make somebody do a 10 to 12 hour drive by themselves if you don't have to. And I'm actually leaning toward leaving the car there. The campus security is such that they'll give anybody a jump start if they need it. And honestly, even though that car sat around for most of, you know, COVID-19, it always did fire right up. I mean, never even had a low battery or anything. So,
I mean, the thing she could do, I mean, she's smart.
Oh, she could disconnect the battery.
She could just disconnect the battery. I mean,
actually, that's a good idea. I didn't think of that because I didn't think of that.
If it's like every other European car ever, it's a 10 millimeter.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's, you know, it's an old Volvo. It's right there in front of God and everybody. Right. Unlike the oil filter and the air filter, but that's a talk for another day.
That reminds me, I drove the Bauer, the E30 on Monday. Yeah, I probably should have unplugged the battery. Damn it.
Is it back in the garage? The other garage?
No, it's at my house.
Oh, okay.
But it's either the clock, the analog clock, and or the old Nakamichi tape deck. It kills the battery in like 4 to 6 days. So I should at least, you know, run out there later and start it, let it run for a little bit.
See if it starts, yeah. And if it doesn't, throw the battery charger on.
Well, it's supposed to rain today and tomorrow, so I can deal with it tomorrow and then go drive it Sunday.
There you go.
I like my battery cutoff switch, though.
That's a thing I've got to deal with on the 280 SEL 4.5 is the battery in it. Now, I haven't had any issues, but it's tiny. Whoever, you know, the last owner, God bless him, he was like a 400-year-old preacher in Nebraska. Nice guy. But he put a small battery in it. And it, you know, it doesn't really fit. Like, and I've looked at lots of photos of this. Actually, I've looked at a lot of pictures trying to figure out how the washer fluid hoses are connected. But you see the batteries because they're right next to the washer fluid thing. And everybody else has a proper big battery in their right. Big old Mercedes. And I've got this little dinky thing and it's like, I feel inadequate or something. And again, it's powering the car fine, you know, but maybe it's a high capacity, small compact battery or something, but I want to get a battery that fits, but I also don't want to spend, you know, $200 ± for no good reason.
Yeah, well, that's it. I like me a big battery. The E46 has a big Interstate battery in it. You know, my 124 had the factory white Mercedes ginormous battery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. That car gave good battery.
You know, One thing I'm also thinking about revisiting, if you go back on the blog several years, it's not hard to go back several years on the blog.
I'll say several years or two pages, one of those.
Anyway, if you go back a ways, a handful of years ago, I did sort of five cars that, you know, you're not likely to run into at Cars and Coffee. It was all European things.
I remember that.
I was thinking about doing another version of that article, just sort of a, you know, five more. Because I am a little bit smitten with some of these wonky European market or even European market, even like Japanese cars that we never saw, like the Mazda 929 Coupe.
Yeah.
You know, which was a really funky car back in the day. And I mean, it's not, I think they're all 2 liter fours and not like super powerful, but unless it's an old like Silver Shadow 3, I really don't want right-hand drive.
You know, I went down that path, I think it was before I bought the E46 or maybe even before I bought the E36 when non-GTR Skylines were coming in. Because you can get interesting coupes and interesting sedans and manual transmission and, you know, a 2 liter turbo six, but they're all right-hand drive. And at that time, I was going in and out of a parking garage twice a day. And yeah, you get one of those, you know, elderly person reacher things and you can make it work. And I'll say, I got no interest. I drove right-hand drive cars when I was working for the British car shop at, you know, the end of high school and the college. And so I'm fine with driving a right-hand drive car in a left-hand drive world, but what a pain in the ass.
Yeah. I did drive cars two or three times from the UK to Germany. Once you get the hang of that, it's fine. But to your point, it's the practicality of it. It's going through a toll or a parking garage. And honestly, I like being in the center of the road. Now, that being said, there are a couple of very, you know, small exceptions that I would have to the rule. We were watching one of these British shows. You know, at my house, we're obsessed with British dramas, particularly these murder mystery things that there's 10 million of, all with the same cast. But everyone's a different story. God bless David Tennant, man. That guy is in everything.
He's got a great agent.
No, I don't even know that they have to have an agent. I mean, I think there's five actors in the United Kingdom. But we were watching one. It might have been last night. And there was somebody in an old Silver Cloud Rolls. And it was some show about doctors. And actually, we're not going to watch it anymore because it was not a good show. But the car porn was excellent. And this Silver Cloud is coming through. And my wife says, that is a gorgeous vehicle. And she was right. I mean, you know, with the lines of the old early 60s clouds, that is a beautiful car. I don't know. I mean, I drove one once. My friend Stu had one briefly. And yeah, it's neat. You know, that's not a sports car.
No.
You could get it with AC, going back to the beginning of the podcast. It's a really funky AC system because they have the thing in the back that, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
That car I could have in right-hand drive, partly because I'd rarely drive it. And the other part, because I'm never going to like drive through a toll or enter a parking garage in the thing. So I really don't care. I'm going to use it to drive to Trader Joe's.
Right.
But a car like that, I could see doing. Just about anything else. I keep getting these Facebook posts, whatever, about JDM market cars, right?
Yeah.
JDM market is a Japanese domestic market. But you know
what? With VIN numbers.
These JDM cars. And there's some really cool ones. Yeah. Like there was one the other day, there was an old Nissan Glory or Datsun Gloria or something. And it was just a neat, neat old car. Right-hand drive. It's like, I don't want that car in right-hand drive. I want that car in left-hand drive. Hence, looking at the European market websites for even some of the Japanese cars, I've been sort of pondering, revisiting that kind of thing. I love some of the Lancias. I love some of the, like Mazda had some goofy stuff. Toyota had some goofy stuff. Nissan had some goofy stuff. And there's always like the old standbys are slab side Audi 100s and 200s from back in the day, especially the hatchback ones. I mean,
yeah,
we thought that the Dasher Passat was where that started, but there was a bigger one, and that was the old Audi 5000 slab side here. You could get over there with the hatchback, which was sort of the 1978 equivalent of today's A7, which is kind of a cool car. And that was the car that was originally the Audi Avant, which is, you know, Audi for station wagon now. But it was also the hatchback back in the day. So like something like that would be kind of fun. Now, I know as well as you do, I would buy a car like that. I'd go through all the hassle of importing it. I'd drive it for like 2.5 months and say, okay, I'm over it.
Right.
But I do think that, you know, it wouldn't be that hard through the internet, through a bring a trailer or something, to find the other, you know, three people that give a flying shit what that car is.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. You know, if you buy a nice one,
yeah,
and bring it over and play with it for a little bit, I don't know that you'd get all your money out of it. Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. But I look at it like, I think a lot of people get hung up on always making money on the car. But I think you have to look at it as, you know, you're paying something per month or for whatever your time frame is for the entertainment value, right? Like people that go to casinos and lose $300, but they've been gambling on that $300 for 4 hours, right? Well, you know what your hourly cost is. That's your entertainment. You know, if you lose a grand or two on the car, but you drove the car for 4 or 5 months and you had your fun with it and actually used it, it didn't just sit there, you know?
Right.
Maybe that's okay. That's the cost of your hobby.
Totally. And as long as you accept that, you know, power to you. Mm-hmm. So here, this one's even the same dark brown as my mother's Fox wagon was back in the day.
Yeah, that's cool.
But see how it's got the Avant badge on the back.
Yep.
So this is an Audi 100 Avant L. So it's a slab side Audi 5000. This one I think was a 78. Mm-hmm. And it looks like a big Dasher.
It really does. It looks like a big bloated Dasher. But it's gorgeous.
With upgraded diamond pattern leather, because that's apparently what you do if you have this car.
Yeah, honestly, but it looks period correct.
It kind of does.
It looks like some wacky German thing they would do.
You know what looks wacky is the radio. Do you see this?
I'm looking at
there the are only that's, four buttons on the radio.
I wasn't sure that was the radio.
Oh, well, that's where the radio goes, and it
No, it is.
It has a search function.
No, just glancing at it. It's four buttons, a knob, and an LCD.
And an Audi logo.
You know, what's interesting is
and the stick shift.
and the stick shift. The vents in the dash and the faux vents across the dash. I think Audi's doing that now, actually.
I think they are. I mean,
that's kind of cool.
I still maintain Audi to this day makes one of the best interiors there is. But anyway, neat car. But that's the kind of car I could see going through the hassle of, you know, bringing back, because you'd have the only one.
So I'm looking at Nissans that we can import in Germany, and I'm looking to see if there's anything interesting that's left-hand drive. Like, I think all your Skylines are going to be right-hand drive.
Are they?
Yeah, I think so. You know, a lot of it's like, I don't care about Nissan Sunnies, and I can get a 300ZX here.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so no, it's got to be something wonky.
Yeah. And that's another issue with me is, if I can get that car in left-hand drive, I want it in left-hand drive. I don't want it in right-hand
Absolutely.
Drive. I don't want a right-hand drive 124 or an E30 or whatever. A buddy of mine here keeps bringing in right-hand drive cars from the UK. And so he's got like, you know, like an Audi S2 wagon, you know, like the Porsche built one, but it's right-hand drive, you know, because that was what he could afford. And he's brought in one or two right-hand drive E30 wagons. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but I don't care.
So this is on my list.
Oh, I love dollies. Yeah.
And it's left-hand drive.
Yeah. Yeah. I love dollies.
A Triumph Dolomite Sprint.
Yes.
And I love these cars. And again, yes, it's a British car. And the home market, it would have been right-hand drive, but I can have it in left-hand drive. And I want it in left-hand drive. Do I want to pay 15,000 euros for it? It's a neat car.
It's a neat car. And there are some Japanese cars you're never going to find in left-hand drive, but they're weird enough. I don't care. Like, you know, a Suzuki Cappuccino or one of the little Adzam things, those little tiny cars. I like those. Here's a Nissan Laurel 240L, a very generic Nissan sedan, but it's left-hand drive. And it's a stick. I like that. Oh, what's that? Oh, it's that Mazda. Yeah.
This is the Mazda 929 Coupe. It's an 86. It is all kinds of like Japanese 80s. It's
could they put more badges on the back?
It's got tons of badges on the back. It has quad pop-up headlights.
Yeah.
I mean, in another life, this could be a Ferrari. It looks like it's rear-wheel drive because it's a stick shift.
It's rear-wheel drive. Look at the hump.
Yep. It's got the hump and the engine is mounted longitudinally.
Yeah.
It has a very 80s radio in it. It's got a little control pad here behind the shifter that I'm really interested in whether or not they never take a picture. Damn, you know. The things you want to see. It's like, oh, and it's got rear sunshades.
Of course.
See that? The roll-up rear sunshades. The upholstery is really sort of funky velour. The wood steering wheel I could do without. But this is a cool car.
Uh-huh.
And again, nobody else is going to have one, but it's going to be comprised of parts that you can, you know, that you can get, if nothing else, through the internet. And these cars are not so complicated that your sort of go-to mechanic, if you're not capable, can't figure out what it needs. It's got 120 horsepower, you know, 2-liter, 4-cylinder, mm-hmm. No AC.
Yeah,
because I come back to AC all the time. That's my thing.
Yeah.
It's anyway,
good times.
You know, we've been going for almost 2 hours.
Have we really? Oh, Lord's going to have a field day with this one.
So maybe we want to wrap up today's installment.
We could probably wrap this up. But for all the listeners out there, you can tell when Reed and I haven't chatted in a while because this happens.
Oh, for sure. Once again, this is totally that stupid.
I am Jonathan and you are?
I am... who is this is? I am Reed, and we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, talk to you later.